A reading from the Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes.
But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps they wondered why I was not surprised when they told of how the curtain had been rent. But I had known the exact moment of the tearing. It had started at my heart and did not stop until it reached my womb, and the Holy of Holies lay bare and bleeding with a gash no one else could see. This poem by Jan Richardson, called Noon to Three, the Magdalene's Lament, describes the absolute tearing of Mary's soul on that Friday afternoon as she watched her dear friend die on the cross. And all the promises that he had made in her life all seemed empty now. He would never make a promise again, so why bother to believe any of it now? She knew that yesterday would always be better than tomorrow, despite what he had taught her. Her wounds must have been so deep on that first morning that she could not imagine their healing. an empty tomb. She is confused. She is hurting. And she is asked why she is weeping. Why is she weeping? The question seems almost preposterous. Not only has her best friend been shamefully crucified, but she cannot even dress his body with the spices that she has brought. The smell of them in her nose, but what good are they now? And as she continues to weep, someone else, a stranger, the gardener, also asks, "Woman, why are you weeping and for whom are you looking?" Why is a gardener there in these rock-hewn graves, this place of death? Are there flowers and trees that need tending? Is there any garden all around this death that she's standing in? Mary sees everything, but she sees nothing. For me, this is the most beautiful of all the resurrection stories, Mary and Jesus alone at the tomb. The Magdalene is the only person who is with Jesus in all of the gospel stories, the two of them close friends. She looking to dress the body of her friend and her teacher, and he waiting for her, unfinished business. With the story of these two friends, though, comes a struggle of mind and soul. A struggle to coming to grips with something that defies our human ability to grasp. So often we reach out on Easter trying to grasp the mystery and the meaning of this, but our hands too often come back empty. We see everything, but we see nothing. See, Mary knew that death was final, and we know that death is final. Our human experience tells us that there are just some situations that are hopeless, that we human beings must take care of ourselves in these dark times. Even people of faith know this dark night of the soul. We're not immune from this feeling. But Mary, standing alone with her doubts and her fears, in her anxious and hurting state, hears her name, Mary. It's the voice of the shepherd, the voice speaking to her, calling to her in this darkness that she's in. Rabuni means dear teacher. And maybe she thinks maybe she was wrong. Maybe Friday had been a bad dream. He is still with her. They will pick up where they left off. Dear teacher, thank goodness you did not die. And she reaches for him. Her hand goes out to touch his sleeve just as it would have in the days before. And in the confusion, the strangest words come from her friend and teacher. "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." The words sound harsh, like rubbing salt in the wounds of Mary's sorrow. But maybe Jesus is saying to her, "You must accept the grief of parting. I am not the object of your love. I am not who I was. I may not even be who you thought I was." Mary stands before Jesus, a wounded woman. She still has the scars of the healings that he performed and took away so long ago. Scars and wounds that run deep, much like ours. We're like Mary. We have many wounds, some from the circumstances of life, some from our own making, wounds at times that feel like they'll never leave us at peace. And yet, if like Mary, we are open to the Spirit's leading, we may listen and hear our name. God beckoning us to cease clinging to our wounds and to walk out of our wounds, just as Jesus walked out of the tomb. On this beautiful morning, when you are dressed in your finest, What wounds are you clinging to? What hurts from the past feel like they will never leave you at peace? Too often in our lives, we remain in the tomb of our past, those places where life has made us a victim. If we are to be healed, though, we must be willing to become a new creation. Mary calls Jesus her teacher, her friend, and today Jesus still has plenty to teach us about ourselves and our wounds. But we first have to be open to the transforming power of the living Christ. I grew up hearing that I had to hold on to my faith in difficult times, that I could cling to my faith. But that leaves me with an image of grasping on to something that has no room for transformation and certainly no room for resurrection, clinging so hard that the Spirit of God can find no room to work for our well-being. But isn't it human nature? Isn't it human nature to grasp onto things so tightly to try to fix them ourselves, even if we do say that we're doing it in God's name? It's human nature to ask big questions on this day. How do you embrace the mystery? We want concrete answers and good feelings, not the struggle of the ferocious moment of the empty tomb where life conquers death. We want our faith to be a warm blanket, familiar and comfortable. But the image of the risen Christ is not Jesus dressed all in pretty white, with his hair nice and neat, and his feet floating above the earth. This shameful crucifixion created painful wounds. His hips are covered in rags. His legs are broken. His palms are outward, displaying the holes. There is blood mixed with sweat, and he has on a crown of thorns. The resurrection has been a struggle, and yet he stands there in the garden, confident. For you see, his wounds have been healed. His God has conquered the enemy, death. The question for each of us on this day, especially on this day, is what does this have to do with my life? Everything. It has to do with everything. Because Easter is an invitation. It's an open invitation. Jesus left the tomb walking out of the effects of all those shameful wounds. He is a new creation, and because he is, we are too. But our call is to accept the good news. This Easter resurrection is an invitation. We are invited to walk out of our wounds, to be transformed by the living Christ. It is then that we, like Mary, can leave the empty tomb to proclaim our lives as new creations. Our healing can be our proclamation, telling the world what we have experienced, speaking of the truth of what we know about Christ. The God who has been made known to us through Jesus Christ is a God of love, of grace, of faithfulness, an eternal God. When we walk out of our wounds, we know that our knitted and healed soul, good is stronger than evil, and that love overcomes hate, and that life is ours through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a great day. You're all going to eat some great food today. I know I am. And I have on the prettiest dress I own, even if you cannot appreciate it. Which is why I don't ever buy a new one. It's the same dress every year, but you don't know that. Easter, though, is not bunnies, nor pretty clothes, or Cadbury eggs. Easter is ferocious. Easter is the gospel. Easter is the whole reason we're here. It is the good news when Christ walks out of his wounds and tramples down death upon death and bestows life to all of us who await in our tombs. So, what are the wounds that you have in your life that need healing? Because this Easter invitation is open every single moment. Any moment you're willing to accept it, you do not have to grasp at this moment, but it will be waiting for you when you are ready. You may not first recognize the living Christ among you. The gospel stories tell us all that Jesus was not recognized by his friends as the living Lord. But when we understand the ferociousness of this, and we're open to the new image of faith and the unexpected ways that God is revealed to us, when we are willing to let God accompany us out of our wounds, then we too will proclaim to the whole world, "I have seen the Lord." May it be so for you and for me. Amen.